hurt you. You should know that by now. Just don't take your clothes off in public. I don't want you naked all over the tabloids. You don't want that, and I'm sure your mom and Ray don't want that either.
Oh, Ray. Holy shit. He'd have a coronary. What was I thinking? I mentally castigate myself.
The steward appears with our drinks and snacks and places them on the teak table. Sit, Christian commands. I do as he says and settle into a director's chair. Christian takes a seat beside me and passes me a gin and tonic. Cheers, Mrs. Gray.
Cheers, Mr. Gray.
I take a welcome sip. It's thirst-quenching, cold, and delicious. When I gaze at him, he's watching me carefully, his mood unreadable. It's very frustrating. I don't know if he's still mad at me. I deploy my patented distraction technique.
Who owns this boat? I ask.
A British knight. Sir somebody or other. His great-grandfather started a grocery store. His daughter's married to one of the crown princes of Europe.
Oh. Super rich?
Christian looks suddenly wary.
Yes.
Like you,
I murmur.
Yes.
Oh.
And like you,
Christian whispers, and pops an olive into his mouth. I blink rapidly. A vision of him in his tux and silver waistcoat comes to mind, his eyes burning with sincerity as he gazes down at me during our wedding ceremony.
All that is mine is now yours,
he says, his voice ringing out clearly, reciting his vows from memory.
All mine? It's odd. Going from nothing to...
I wave my hand to indicate our opulent surroundings.
To everything.
You'll get used to it.
I don't think I'll ever get used to it.
Taylor appears on deck.
Sir, you have a call.
Christian frowns but takes the proffered BlackBerry.
Gray,
he snaps and rises from his seat to stand at the bow of the yacht. I gaze out at the sea, tuning out his conversation with Roz, I think, his number two. I am rich, stinking rich. I have done nothing to earn this money, just married a rich man. I shudder as my mind drifts back to our conversation about prenups. It was the Sunday after his birthday, and we were seated at the kitchen table enjoying our leisurely breakfast, all of us. Elliot, Kate, Grace, and I were debating the merits of bacon versus sausage, while Carrick and Christian read the Sunday paper.
Look at this,
squeals Mia, as she sets her netbook on the kitchen table in front of us. There's a gossipy item on the Seattle News website about you being engaged, Christian.
Already?
Grace says in surprise. Then her mouth purses as some obviously unpleasant thought crosses her mind. Christian frowns. Mia reads the column out loud.
Word has reached us here at the news that Seattle's most eligible bachelor, the Christian Gray, has finally been snapped up and wedding bells are in the air. But who is the lucky, lucky lady? The news is on the hunt. Bet she's reading one hell of a prenup.
Mia giggles, then stops abruptly as Christian glares at her. Silence descends, and the atmosphere in the gray kitchen plunges to below zero.
Oh, no! A prenup? The thought has never crossed my mind.
I swallow, feeling all the blood drain from my face. Please, ground, swallow me up now. Christian shifts uncomfortably in his chair as I glance apprehensively at him.
No,
he mouths at me.
Christian,
Carrick says gently.
I'm not discussing this again,
he snaps at Carrick, who glances at me nervously and opens his mouth to say something.
No prenup.
Christian almost shouts at him and broodingly goes back to reading his paper, ignoring everyone else at the table. They look alternately at me and then him, then anywhere but at the two of us.
Christian, I murmur, I'll sign anything you and Mr. Gray want. Geez, it wouldn't be the first time he's made me sign something. Christian looks up and glares at me.
No!
He snaps. I blanch once more. It's to protect you.
Christian, Anna, I think you should discuss this in private.
Grace admonishes us. She glares at Carrick and Mia. Oh dear, looks like they're in trouble too.
Anna, this is not about you,
Carrick murmurs reassuringly.
And please, call me Carrick.
Christian narrows cold eyes at his father and my heart sinks. Hell, he's really mad. Everyone erupts into animated conversation, and Mia and Kate leap up to clear the table.
I definitely prefer sausage,
exclaims Elliot. I stare down at my knotted fingers. Crap. I hope Mr. and Mrs. Gray don't think I'm some kind of gold digger. Christian reaches over and grasps both my hands gently in one of his.
Stop it.
How does he know what I'm thinking?
Ignore my dad,
Christian says, so only I can hear him.
He's really pissed about Elena. That stuff was all aimed at me. I wish my mom had kept her mouth shut.
I know Christian is still smarting from his talk with Carrick about Elena last night. He has a point, Christian. You're very wealthy, and I'm bringing nothing to our marriage but my student loans. Christian gazes at me, his eyes bleak.
Anastasia, if you leave me, you might as well take everything. You left me once before. I know how that feels.
Holy fuck. That was different, I whisper, moved by his intensity. But you might want to leave me. The thought makes me sick. He snorts and shakes his head with mock disgust. Christian, you know I might do something exceptionally stupid, and you... I glance down at my knotted hands, pain lancing through me, and I'm unable to finish my sentence. Losing Christian. Fuck.
Stop. Stop now. The subject is closed, Anna. We're not discussing it anymore. No prenup. Not now. Not ever.
He gives me a pointed, give it up now look, which silences me. Then he turns to Grace.
Mom,
he says,
can we have the wedding here?
And he's not mentioned it again. In fact, at every opportunity, he's tried to reassure me about his wealth, that it's mine, too. I shudder as I recall the crazy shopping fest Christian demanded I go on with Caroline Acton, the personal shopper from Neiman Marcus, in preparation for this honeymoon. My bikini alone cost $540. I mean, it's nice, but really? That's a ridiculous amount of money for four triangular scraps of material.
You will get used to it.
Christian interrupts my reverie as he resumes his place at the table. Used to it?
The money,
he says, rolling his eyes. Oh, 50, maybe with time. I push the small dish of salted almonds and cashews toward him. Your nuts, sir, I say, with as straight a face as I can manage, trying to bring some humor to our conversation after my dark thoughts and my bikini top faux pas. He smirks.
I'm nuts about you.
He takes an almond, his eyes sparkling with wicked humor as he enjoys my little joke. He licks his lips.
Drink up. We're going to bed.
What?
Drink,
he mouths at me, his eyes darkening. Oh my, the look he gives me could be solely responsible for global warming. I pick up my gin and drain the glass, not taking my eyes off him. His mouth drops open, and I glimpse the tip of his tongue between his teeth. He smiles lewdly at me. In one fluid move, he stands and bends over me, resting his hands on the arms of my chair.
I'm going to make an example of you. Come, don't pee.
He whispers in my ear. I gasp. Don't pee? How rude. My subconscious looks up from her book.
The Complete Works of Charles Dickens, Volume 1, with alarm.
It's not what you think.
Christian smirks, holding his hand out to me.
Trust me.
He looks so sexy and genial. How can I resist? Okay. I place my hand in his, because, quite simply, I'd trust him with my life. What has he got planned? My heart starts pounding in anticipation. He leads me across the deck and through the doors into the plush, beautifully appointed main salon, along a narrow corridor, through the dining room, and down the stairs to the main master cabin. The cabin has been cleaned since this morning and the bed made. It's a lovely room, with two portholes on both the starboard and port sides. It's elegantly decorated in dark walnut furniture with cream walls and soft furnishings in gold and red. Christian releases my hand, pulls his t-shirt over his head, and tosses it onto a chair. He steps out of his flip-flops and removes his shorts and trunks in one graceful move. Oh my, will I ever tire of looking at him naked? He is utterly gorgeous, and all mine. His skin glows. He's caught the sun, too, and his hair is longer, flopping over his forehead. I am one lucky, lucky girl. He grasps my chin, pulling slightly so that I stop biting my lip, and runs his thumb along my lower lip.
That's better.
He turns and strides over to the impressive armoire that houses his clothes. He produces two pairs of metal handcuffs and an airline eye mask from the bottom drawer. Handcuffs? We've never used handcuffs. I glance quickly and nervously at the bed. Where the hell is he going to attach those? He turns and gazes steadily at me, his eyes dark and luminous.
These can be quite painful. They can bite into the skin if you pull too hard.
He holds up one pair.
But I really want to use them on you now.
Holy fuck. My mouth goes dry.
Here.
He stalks gracefully forward and hands me a set.
Do you want to try them first?
They feel solid, the metal cold. Vaguely, I hope I never have to wear a pair of these for real. Christian is watching me intently. Where are the keys? My voice wavers. He holds out his palm, revealing a small metallic key.
This does both sets. In fact, all sets.
How many sets does he have? I don't remember seeing any in the museum chest. He strokes my cheek with his index finger, trailing it down to my mouth. He leans in as if to kiss me.
Do you want to play?
He says, his voice low, and everything in my body heads south as desire unfurls deep in my belly. Yes, I breathe. He smiles.
Good.
He plants a feather-like kiss on my forehead.
We're going to need a safe word.
What?
Stop won't be enough because you will probably say that, but you won't mean it.
He runs his nose down mine, the only contact between us. My heart starts pounding. Shit! How can he do this with just words?
This is not going to hurt. It will be intense, very intense, because I am not going to let you move, okay?
Oh my! This sounds so hot. My breathing is too loud. Fuck! I am panting already. Thank heavens I'm married to this man. Otherwise, this would be embarrassing. My eyes flick down to his arousal. Okay. My voice is barely audible.
Choose a word, Anna.
Oh.
A safe word,
he says softly. Popsicle, I say, panting.
Popsicle?
He says, amused. Yes. He grins as he leans back to gaze down at me.
Interesting choice. Lift up your arms.
I do, and Christian grasps the hem of my sundress, lifts it over my head, and tosses it on the floor. He holds out his hand, and I give him back the handcuffs. He places both sets on the bedside table, along with the blindfold, and yanks the quilt off the bed, letting it fall to the floor.
Turn around.
I turn, and he undoes my bikini top so that it falls to the floor.
Tomorrow, I will staple this to you,
he mutters, and tugs on my hair tie, freeing my hair. He gathers it into one hand and yanks gently so I step back against him, against his chest, against his erection. I gasp as he pulls my head to one side and kisses my neck.
You were very disobedient,
he murmurs in my ear, sending delicious shivers through me.
Yes,
I whisper.
What are we going to do about that?
Learn to live with it, I breathe. His soft, languid kisses are driving me wild. He grins against my neck.
Ah, Mrs. Gray, you are ever the optimist.
He straightens. Taking my hair, he carefully parts it into three strands, braids it slowly, and then fastens my hair tie to the end. He tugs my braid gently and leans down to my ear.
I am going to teach you a lesson,
he murmurs. Moving suddenly, he grabs me by the waist, sits down on the bed, and yanks me across his knee so that I feel his erection pressed against my belly. He smacks my backside once, hard. I yelp, then I'm on my back on the bed. And he's gazing down at me, his eyes molten gray. I'm going to combust.
Do you know how beautiful you are?
He trails his fingertips up my thigh so that I tingle, everywhere. Without taking his eyes off me, he gets up from the bed and gathers both sets of handcuffs. He grasps my left leg and snaps one cuff around my ankle.
Oh.
Lifting my right leg, he repeats the process, so I have a pair of handcuffs attached to each ankle. I still have no idea where he's going to attach them.
Sit up,
he orders, and I comply immediately.
Now hug your knees.
I blink at him, then draw my legs up so they are bent in front of me and wrap my arms around them. He reaches down, lifts my chin, and plants a soft, wet kiss on my lips before slipping the blindfold over my eyes. I can see nothing. All I can hear is my rapid breathing and the sound of the water lapping against the sides of the yacht as she bobs gently on the sea.
Oh my, I am so aroused already. What's the safe word, Anastasia?
Popsicle.
Good.
Taking my left hand, he snaps a cuff around my wrist, then repeats the process with my right. My left hand is tied to my left ankle, my right hand to my right leg. I cannot straighten my legs. Holy fuck.
Now,
Christian breathes,
I'm going to fuck you till you scream.
What? And all the air leaves my body. He grasps both of my heels and tips me back so that I fall backward on the bed. I have no choice but to keep my legs bent. The cuffs tighten as I pull against them. He's right. They cut into me almost to the point of pain. This feels weird, being trussed up and helpless on a boat. He pulls my ankles apart, and I groan. He kisses my inner thigh, and I want to squirm beneath him, but I can't. I have no purchase to move my hips. My feet are suspended. I cannot move.
You're going to have to absorb all the pleasure, Anastasia. No moving,
he murmurs as he crawls up my body, kissing me along the edge of my bikini bottoms. He pulls the strings on each side, and the scraps of material fall away. I am now naked and at his mercy. He kisses my belly, nipping my navel with his teeth. Oh, I sigh. This is going to be tough. I had no idea. He traces soft kisses and little bites up to my breasts.
Shh, he soothes. You are so beautiful, Anna.
I groan, frustrated. Normally I'd be grinding my hips, responding to his touch with a rhythm of my own, but I cannot move. I moan, pulling on my restraints. The metal bites into my skin. Ah! I cry. But I really don't care.
You drive me crazy.
he whispers, so I am going to drive you crazy.
He's resting on me now, his weight on his elbows, and he turns his attention to my breasts, biting, sucking, rolling my nipples between his fingers and thumbs, driving me wild. He doesn't stop. It's maddening. Oh, please. His erection pushes against me. Christian, I beg, and feel his triumphant smile against my skin.
Shall I make you come this way?
He murmurs against my nipple, causing it to harden some more.
You know I can.
He suckles me hard and I cry out, pleasure lancing from my chest directly to my groin. I pull helplessly on the cuffs, swamped by the sensation. Yes, I whimper.
Oh, baby, that would be too easy.
Oh, please.
Shh.
His teeth scrape my chin as he trails his lips to my mouth, and I gasp. He kisses me. His skilled tongue invades my mouth, tasting, exploring, dominating. But my tongue meets his challenge, writhing against his. He tastes of cool gin and Christian Grey, and he smells of the sea. He grasps my chin, holding my head in place.
Still, baby. I want you still.
He whispers against my mouth. I want to see you.
Oh, no, Anna. You'll feel more this way.
And agonizingly slowly, he flexes his hips and pushes part way into me. I would normally tilt my pelvis up to meet him, but I can't move. He withdraws. Ah! Christian, please!
Again?
He teases, his voice hoarse. Christian! He pushes fractionally into me again, then withdraws while kissing me, his fingers tugging at my nipple. It's pleasure overload. No!
Do you want me, Anastasia?
Yes, I beg.
Tell me,
he murmurs, his breathing harsh, and he teases me once more, in and out. I want you, I whimper. Please. I hear his soft sigh against my ear.
And have me, you will, Anastasia.
He rears up and slams into me. I scream, tilting my head back, pulling on the restraints as he hits my sweet spot, and I am all sensation, everywhere, a sweet, sweet agony, and I cannot move. He stills, then circles his hips, and the motion radiates deep inside me.
Why do you defy me, Anna?
Christian, stop! He circles deep inside me again, ignoring my plea, easing out slowly, and then slamming into me again.
Tell me, why?
He hisses, and I'm vaguely aware that it's through gritted teeth. I cry out in an incoherent wail. This is too much.
Tell me.
Christian!
Anna, I need to know.
He slams into me again, thrusting so deep, and I'm building. The feeling is so intense. It swamps me, spiraling out from deep within my belly, to each limb, to each biting metal restraint. I don't know, I cry out, because I can, because I love you. Please, Christian. He groans loudly and thrusts deep, again and again, over and over, and I am lost, trying to absorb the pleasure. It's mind-blowing, body-blowing. I long to straighten my legs, to control my imminent orgasm, but I can't. I'm helpless. I'm his, just his, to do with as he wills. Tears spring into my eyes. This is too intense. I can't stop him. I don't want to stop him. I want... Oh, no. Oh, no. This is too...
That's it, Christian growls. Feel it, baby.
I detonate around him, again and again, round and round, screaming loudly as my orgasm rips me apart, scorching through me like a wildfire, consuming everything. I am wrung ragged, tears streaming down my face, my body left pulsing and shaking.
and I'm aware that Christian kneels, still inside me, pulling me upright onto his lap. He clutches my head with one hand and my back with the other, and he comes violently inside me while my insides continue to tremble with aftershocks. It's draining. It's exhausting. It's hell. It's heaven. It's hedonism gone wild. Christian tears off the blindfold and kisses me. He kisses my eyes, my nose, my cheeks. He kisses away the tears, clutching my face between his hands.
I love you, Mrs. Gray. He breathes. Even though you make me so mad, I feel so alive with you.
I don't have the energy to open either my eyes or my mouth to respond. Very gently, he lays me back on the bed and eases out of me. I mouth some wordless protest. He climbs off the bed and undoes the handcuffs. When I'm free, he gently rubs my wrists and ankles, then lies down beside me again, pulling me into his arms. I stretch out my legs. Oh, my, that feels good. I feel good. That was, without doubt, the most intense climax I have ever endured. A Christian Grey 50 Shades punishment fuck. I really must misbehave more often. A pressing need from my bladder wakes me. When I open my eyes, I'm disoriented. It's dark outside. Where am I? London? Paris? Oh, the boat. I feel her pitch and roll, and I hear the quiet hum of the engines. We're on the move. How odd. Christian is beside me, working on his laptop, casually dressed in a white linen shirt and chino trousers, his feet bare. His hair is still wet, and I can smell his body wash fresh from the shower and his Christian smell.
Hi,
he murmurs, gazing down at me, his eyes warm. Hi, I smile, feeling suddenly shy. How long have I been asleep?
Just an hour or so.
We're moving?
I figured since we ate out last night and went to the ballet and the casino that we'd dine on board tonight. A quiet night, adieu.
I grin at him. Where are we going?
Cannes.
Okay. I stretch, feeling stiff. No amount of training with Claude could have prepared me for this afternoon. I rise gingerly, needing the bathroom. Grabbing my silk robe, I hastily put it on. Why am I so shy? I feel Christian's eyes on me. When I glance at him, he returns to his laptop, his brow furrowed. As I absent-mindedly wash my hands at the vanity unit, recalling last night at the casino, my robe falls open. I stare at myself in the mirror, shocked. Holy fuck! What has he done to me? Chapter 3. I gaze in horror at the red marks all over my breasts. Hickeys! I have hickeys! I am married to one of the most respected businessmen in the United States, and he's given me goddamn hickeys. How did I not feel him doing this to me? I flush. The fact is, I know exactly why. Mr. Orgasmic was using his fine motor sexing skills on me. My subconscious peers over her half-moon specs and tuts disapprovingly, while my inner goddess slumbers on her chaise longue, out for the count. I gape at my reflection. My wrists have red welts around them from the handcuffs. No doubt they'll bruise. I examine my ankles. More welts. Holy hell! I look like I've been in some sort of accident. I gaze at myself, trying to absorb how I look. My body is so different these days. It's changed subtly since I've known him. I've become leaner and fitter, and my hair is glossy and well-cut. My nails are manicured, my feet pedicured, my eyebrows threaded and beautifully shaped. For the first time in my life, I'm well-groomed, except for these hideous love bites.
I don't want to think about grooming at the moment. I'm too mad. How dare he mark me like this, like some teenager? In the short time we've been together, he's never given me hickeys. I look like hell. I know why he's done this. Damn control freak. Right. My subconscious folds her arms beneath her small bosom. He's gone too far this time. I stalk out of the ensuite bathroom and into the walk-in closet, carefully avoiding even a glance in his direction. Slipping out of my robe, I pull on my sweatpants and a camisole. I undo the braid, pick up a hairbrush from the small vanity unit, and brush out my tangles.
Anastasia?
Christian calls, and I hear his anxiety.
Are you okay?
I ignore him. Am I okay? No, I am not okay. After what he's done to me, I doubt I'll be able to wear a swimsuit, let alone one of my ridiculously expensive bikinis, for the rest of our honeymoon. The thought is suddenly so infuriating. How dare he? I'll give him "Are you okay?" I seethe as fury spikes through me. I can behave like an adolescent, too. Stepping back into the bedroom, I hurl the hairbrush at him, turn, and leave, though not before I see his shocked expression and his lightning reaction as he raises his arm to protect his head, so that the brush bounces ineffectively off his forearm and onto the bed. I storm out of our cabin, bolt upstairs and out on deck, fleeing toward the bow. I need some space to calm down. It's dark, and the air is balmy. The warm breeze carries the smell of the Mediterranean and the scent of jasmine and bougainvillea from the shore. The fair lady glides effortlessly through the calm, cobalt sea as I rest my elbows on the wooden railing, gazing at the distant shore where tiny lights wink and twinkle. I take a deep, healing breath and slowly begin to calm. I'm aware of him behind me before I hear him.
"You're mad at me,"
he whispers. "No shit, Sherlock."
"How mad?"
"Scale of 1 to 10? I think I'm at 50. Apt, huh?"
"That mad?"
He sounds surprised and impressed at once. "Yes, pushed to violence mad," I say through gritted teeth. He stays silent as I turn and scowl at him, watching me with wide and wary eyes. I know from his expression, and because he's made no move to touch me, that he's out of his depth. "Christian, you have to stop unilaterally trying to bring me to heel. You made your point on the beach, very effectively, as I recall." He shrugs minutely.
"Well, you won't take your top off again,"
he murmurs petulantly. "And this justifies what he's done to me?" I glare at him. "I don't like you leaving marks on me. Well, not this many, anyway. It's a hard limit," I hiss at him.
"I don't like you taking your clothes off in public. That's a hard limit for me,"
he growls. "I think we've established that," I hiss through my teeth. "Look at me!" I pull down my camisole to reveal the top of my breasts. Christian gazes at me, his eyes not leaving my face, his expression wary and uncertain. He's not used to seeing me this mad. Can't he see what he's done? Can't he see how ridiculous he is? I want to shout at him, but I refrain. I don't want to push him too far. Heaven knows what he'd do. Eventually, he sighs and holds his palms up in a resigned, conciliatory gesture.
"Okay," he says, his voice placating. "I get it."
"Hallelujah. Good." He runs his hand through his hair.
"I'm sorry. Please don't be mad at me."
Finally, he looks contrite, using my own words back at me. "You are such an adolescent sometimes." I scold him, mulishly, but the fight has gone out of my voice, and he knows it. He steps closer and tentatively raises his hand to tuck my hair behind my ear.
"I know," he acknowledges softly. "I have a lot to learn."
Dr. Flynn's words come back to me. Emotionally, Christian is an adolescent, Anna. He bypassed that phase in his life totally. He's channeled all his energies into succeeding in the business world
and he has beyond all expectations. His emotional world has to play catch-up. My heart thaws a little. We both do. I sigh and cautiously raise my hand, placing it over his heart. He doesn't flinch like he used to, but he stiffens. He rests his hand over mine and smiles his shy smile.
I've just learned that you've a good arm and a good aim, Mrs. Gray. I would never have figured that, but then I constantly underestimate you. You always surprise me.
I arch my eyebrow at him. Target practice with Ray. I can throw and shoot straight, Mr. Gray, and you'd do well to remember that.
I will endeavor to do that, Mrs. Gray, or ensure that all potential projectile objects are nailed down and that you don't have access to a gun.
He smirks. I smirk back, narrowing my eyes. I'm resourceful.
That you are,
he whispers, and releases my hand to circle his arms around me. Pulling me into an embrace, he buries his nose in my hair. I wrap my arms around him, holding him close, and feel the tension leave his body as he nuzzles me.
Am I forgiven?
Am I? I feel his smile.
Yes,
he answers. Ditto. We stand holding each other, my peak forgotten. He does smell good, adolescent or not. How can I resist him?
Hungry?
He says after a while. I have my eyes closed and my head against his chest. Yes. Famished. All the, activity has given me an appetite, but I'm not dressed for dinner. I'm sure my sweatpants and camisole would be frowned upon in the dining room.
You look good to me, Anastasia. Besides, it's our boat for the week. We can dress how we like. Think of it as dress-down Tuesday on the Côte d'Azur. Anyway, I thought we'd eat on deck.
Yes, I'd like that. He kisses me, an earnest forgive-me kiss. Then we wander hand in hand toward the bow, where our gazpacho awaits. The steward serves our creme brulee and discreetly retires. Why do you always braid my hair? I ask Christian, out of curiosity. We're sitting adjacent to each other at the table, my lower leg curled around his. He pauses as he's about to pick up his dessert spoon and frowns.
I don't want your hair catching in anything,
he says quietly, and for a moment he's lost in thought.
Habit, I think,
he muses. Suddenly he frowns and his eyes widen, his pupils dilating with alarm. What's he remembered?
It's something painful, some early childhood memory, I guess.
I don't want to remind him of that. Leaning over, I put my index finger over his lips. No, it doesn't matter. I don't need to know. I was just curious. I give him a warm, reassuring smile. His look is wary, but after a moment, he visibly relaxes, his relief evident. I lean over to kiss the corner of his mouth. I love you, I murmur, and he smiles his heart-achingly shy smile, and I melt. I will always love you, Christian.
And I you,
he says softly. In spite of my disobedience, I raise my eyebrow.
Because of your disobedience, Anastasia.
He grins. I crack my spoon through the burned sugar crust of my dessert and shake my head. Will I ever understand this man? This creme brulee is delicious. Once the steward has cleared our dessert plates, Christian reaches for the bottle of rosé and refills my glass. I check that we're alone and ask, what's with the no going to the bathroom thing?
You really want to know?
He half smiles, his eyes alight with a salacious gleam. Do I? I gaze at him through my lashes as I take a sip of my wine.
The fuller your bladder, the more intense your orgasm, Anna.
I blush. Oh, I see. Holy cow, that explains a lot.
He grins, looking far too knowing. Will I always be on the back foot with Mr. Sexpertise? Yes, well... I desperately hunt around for a change of subject. He takes pity on me.
What do you want to do for the rest of the evening?
He cocks his head to one side and gives me his lopsided grin. Whatever you want, Christian. Put your theory to the test again? I shrug.
I know what I want to do,
he murmurs, grabbing his glass of wine. He rises and holds his hand out to me.
Come.
I take his hand and he leads me into the main salon. His iPod is in the speaker dock on the dresser. He switches it on and selects a song.
Dance with me.
He pulls me into his arms. If you insist.
I insist, Mrs. Gray.
A slinky, cheesy melody starts. Is this a Latin rhythm? Christian grins down at me and starts to move, sweeping me off my feet and taking me with him around the salon. A man with a voice like warm, melted caramel croons. It's a song I know but can't place. Christian dips me low, and I yelp in surprise and giggle. He smiles, his eyes filled with humor. Then he scoops me up and spins me under his arm. You dance so well, I say. It's like I can dance. He gives me a sphinx-like smile but says nothing, and I wonder if it's because he's thinking of her, Mrs. Robinson, the woman who taught him how to dance and how to fuck. She hasn't crossed my mind for a while. Christian has not mentioned her since his birthday, and as far as I'm aware, their business relationship is over. Reluctantly, though, I have to admit, she was some teacher. He dips me low again and plants a swift kiss on my lips. I'd miss your love, I murmur, echoing the lyrics.
I'd more than miss your love, he says, and spins me once more.
Then he sings the words softly in my ear, making me swoon. The track ends and Christian gazes down at me, his eyes dark and luminous, all humor gone, and I'm suddenly breathless.
Come to bed with me,
he whispers, and it's a heartfelt plea that tugs at my heart. Christian, you had me at I do 2.5 weeks ago. But I know this is his way of apologizing and making sure all is well between us after our spat. When I wake, the sun is shining through the portholes and the water reflects shimmering patterns onto the cabin ceiling. Christian is nowhere to be seen. I stretch out and smile. I'll take a punishment fuck followed by makeup sex any day. I marvel at what it is to go to bed with two different men, angry Christian and sweet, let me make it up to you in any way I can, Christian. It's tricky to decide which of them I like best. I rise and head for the bathroom. Opening the door, I find Christian inside shaving, naked except for a towel wrapped around his waist. He turns and beams, not fazed that I am interrupting him. I have discovered that Christian will never lock the door if he is the only person in the room. The reason is sobering and not one I want to dwell on.
Good morning, Mrs. Gray,
he says, radiating his good mood. Good morning yourself, I grin back as I watch him shave. I love watching him shave. He pulls up his chin and shaves beneath it, taking long, deliberate strokes, and I find myself unconsciously mirroring his actions, pulling my upper lip down just as he does to shave his philtrum. He turns and smirks at me, one half of his face still covered in shaving soap.
Enjoying the show?
He asks. Oh, Christian, I could watch you for hours. One of my all-time favorites, I murmur, and he leans down and kisses me quickly, smearing shaving soap on my face.
Shall I do this to you again?
He whispers wickedly and holds up the razor. I purse my lips at him. No, I mutter, pretending to sulk. I'll wax next time. I remember Christian's joy in London when he'd discovered that during his one meeting there, I'd shaved off my pubic hair out of curiosity. Of course, I hadn't done it to Mr. Exacting's high standards.
"What the hell have you done?"
Christian exclaims. He cannot keep his horrified amusement to himself. He sits up in bed in our suite at Brown's Hotel near Piccadilly, switches on the bedside light, and gazes down at me, his mouth a startled O. It must be midnight. I blush the color of the sheets in the playroom and try to pull down my satin nightdress so he can't see. He grabs my hand to stop me.
"Anna!"
I shaved.
"I can see that. Why?"
He's grinning from ear to ear. I cover my face with my hands. Why am I so embarrassed?
"Hey,"
he says softly and pulls my hand away.
"Don't hide."
He is biting his lip so that he won't laugh.
"Tell me, why?"
His eyes dance with merriment. Why does he find this so funny? Stop laughing at me!
"I'm not laughing at you. I'm sorry, I'm delighted,"
he says. "Oh."
"Tell me, why?"
I take a deep breath. "This morning, after you left for your meeting, I took a shower and was remembering all your rules." He blinks. The humor in his expression has vanished, and he regards me cautiously. "And I was taking them off, one by one, and how I felt about them, and I remembered the beauty salon, and I thought, this is what you'd like. I wasn't brave enough to get a wax." My voice disappears into a whisper. He stares at me, his eyes glowing, this time not with mirth at my folly, but with love.
"Oh, Anna,"
he breathes. He leans down and kisses me tenderly.
"You beguile me,"
he whispers against my lips and kisses me once more, clasping my face in both his hands. After a breathless moment, he pulls back and leans up on one elbow. The humor is back.
"I think I should do a thorough inspection of your handiwork, Mrs. Gray."
"What? No!" He has to be kidding. I cover myself, protecting my recently deforested area.
"Oh, no you don't, Anastasia."
He grasps my hands and pries them away, moving nimbly so he's between my legs and pinning my hands to my sides. He gives me a scorching look that could light dry tinder, but before I combust, he bends and skims his lips down my naked belly directly to my sex. I squirm beneath him, reluctantly resigned to my fate.
"Well, what have we here?"
Christian plants a kiss where, until this morning, I had pubic hair, then scrapes his bristly chin across me. "Ah!" I exclaim. "Wow. That's sensitive." Christian's eyes dart to mine, full of salacious longing.
"I think you missed a bit,"
he mutters and tugs gently right underneath. "Oh, damn," I mutter, hoping this will put an end to his frankly intrusive scrutiny.
"I have an idea."
He leaps naked out of bed and heads to the bathroom. What on earth is he doing? He returns moments later, carrying a glass of water, a mug, my razor, his shaving brush, soap, and a towel. He puts the water, brush, soap, and razor on the bedside table and gazes down at me, holding the towel. "Oh, no!" My subconscious slams down her complete works of Charles Dickens, leaps up from her armchair, and puts her hands on her hips. "No! No! No!" I squeak.
"Mrs. Gray, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing well. Lift your hips."
His eyes glow summer storm gray. "Christian, you are not shaving me." He tilts his head to one side.
"Why ever not?"
I flush. "Isn't it obvious?" "Because it's just too...
intimate,"
he whispers.
"Anna, I crave intimacy with you. You know that. Besides, after some of the things we've done, don't get all squeamish on me now. And I know this part of your body better than you do."
I gape at him, of all of the arrogant... True, he does, but still.
It's just wrong!
My voice is prissy and whiny.
This isn't wrong. This is hot.
Hot? Really?
This turns you on?
I can't keep the astonishment out of my voice. He snorts.
Can't you tell?
He glances down at his arousal.
I want to shave you,
he whispers. Oh, what the hell? I lie back, throwing my arm over my face so I don't have to watch. If it makes you happy, Christian, go ahead. You are so kinky, I mutter as I lift my hips, and he slips the towel beneath me. He kisses my inner thigh.
Oh, baby, how right you are.
I hear the slosh of water as he dips the shaving brush in the glass of water, then the soft swirl of the brush in the mug. He grasps my left ankle and parts my legs, and the bed dips as he sits between my legs.
I'd really like to tie you up right now,
he murmurs. I promise to keep still.
Good.
I gasp as he runs the lathered brush over my pubic bone. It's warm. The water in the glass must be hot. I squirm a little. It tickles, but in a good way.
Don't move,
Christian admonishes and applies the brush again.
Or I will tie you down,
he adds darkly, and a delicious shiver runs down my spine. Have you done this before? I ask tentatively when he reaches for the razor.
No.
Oh, good, I grin.
Another first, Mrs. Gray.
I like firsts.
Me too. Here goes.
And with a gentleness that surprises me, he runs the razor over my sensitive flesh.
Keep still,
he says distractedly, and I know he's concentrating hard. It's only a matter of minutes before he grabs the towel and wipes all the excess lather off me.
There, that's more like it,
he muses, and I finally lift my arm to look at him as he sits back to admire his handiwork. Happy? I ask, my voice hoarse.
Very.
He grins wickedly and slowly eases a finger inside me.
But that was fun,
he says, his eyes gently mocking. For you, maybe. I try to pout, but he's right. It was arousing.
I seem to recall the aftermath was very satisfying.
Christian returns to finishing his shave. I glance quickly down at my fingers. Yes, it was. I had no idea that the absence of pubic hair could make such a difference.
Hey, I'm just teasing. Isn't that what husbands who are hopelessly in love with their wives do?
Christian tips my chin up and gazes at me, his eyes suddenly filled with apprehension as he endeavors to read my expression. Payback time. Sit, I mutter. He stares, not understanding. I push him gently toward the lone white stool in the bathroom. Perplexed, he sits down, and I take the razor from him.
Anna?
He warns as he realizes my intention. I lean down and kiss him.
Head back,
I whisper. He hesitates. Tit for tat, Mr. Gray. He stares at me with wary, amused disbelief.
You know what you're doing?
He asks, his voice low. I shake my head slowly, deliberately, trying to look as serious as possible. He closes his eyes and shakes his head, then tilts it back in surrender. Holy shit! He's going to let me shave him. Tentatively, I slide my hand into the damp hair at his forehead, gripping tightly to hold him still. He clenches his eyes closed and parts his lips as he inhales. Very gently, I stroke his razor up from his neck to his chin, revealing a path of skin beneath the lather. Christian exhales. Did you think I was going to hurt you?
I never know what you're going to do, Anna, but no, not intentionally.
I run the razor up his neck again, clearing a wider path in the lather. I would never intentionally hurt you, Christian.
He opens his eyes and circles his arms around me as I gently drag the razor down his cheek from the bottom of his sideburn.
I know,
he says, angling his face so I can shave the rest of his cheek. Two more strokes, and I've finished. All done, and not a drop of blood spilled. I grin proudly. He runs his hand up my leg so that my nightdress rides up my thigh and pulls me onto his lap so that I'm astride him. I steady myself with my hands on his upper arms. He's really very muscular.
Can I take you somewhere today?
No sunbathing? I arch a caustic brow at him. He licks his lips nervously.
No, no sunbathing today. I thought you might prefer something else.
Well, since you've covered me in hickeys and effectively put the kibosh on that, sure, why not? Wisely, he chooses to ignore my tone.
It's a drive, but it's worth a visit from what I've read. My dad recommended we visit. It's a hilltop village called Saint-Paul-de-Vence. There are some galleries there. I thought we could pick out some paintings or sculptures for the new house, if we find anything we like.
I lean back and gaze at him. Art. He wants to buy art. How can I buy art?
What?
He asks. I know nothing about art, Christian. He shrugs and smiles at me indulgently.
We'll buy only what we like. This isn't about investment.
Investment? Jeez.
What?
He says again. I shake my head.
Look, I know we only got the architect's drawings the other day, but there's no harm in looking, and the town is an ancient medieval place.
Oh, the architect. He had to remind me of her, Gia Matteo, a friend of Elliot's who worked on Christian's place in Aspen. During our meetings, she'd been all over Christian like a rash.
What now?
Christian exclaims. I shake my head.
Tell me,
he urges. How can I tell him that I don't like Gia? My dislike is irrational. I don't want to come across as a jealous wife.
You're not still mad about what I did yesterday.
He sighs and nuzzles his face between my breasts. No, I'm hungry, I mutter, knowing full well that this will distract him from this line of questioning.
Why didn't you say?
He eases me off his lap and stands. Saint-Paul-de-Vence is a fortified medieval hilltop village, one of the most picturesque places I have ever seen. I stroll arm in arm with Christian through the narrow cobblestone streets, with my hand in the back pocket of his shorts. Taylor and either Gaston or Philippe, I can't tell the difference between them, trail behind us. We pass a tree-covered square where three old men, one wearing a traditional beret in spite of the heat, are playing boule. It's quite crowded with tourists, but I feel comfortable tucked under Christian's arm. There is so much to see. Little alleys and passageways leading to courtyards with intricate stone fountains, ancient and modern sculptures, and fascinating little boutiques and shops. In the first gallery, Christian gazes distractedly at the erotic photographs in front of us, sucking gently on the arm of his aviator specs. They are the work of Florence Dell, naked women in various poses. Not quite what I had in mind, I mumbled disapprovingly. They make me think of the box of photographs I found in his closet. Our closet. I wonder if he ever did destroy them.
Me neither,
Christian says, grinning down at me. He takes my hand and we stroll to the next artist. Idly, I wonder if I should let him take photos of me. The next display is by a female painter who specializes in still lifes, fruit and vegetables super close up and in rich, glorious color. I like those. I point to three paintings of peppers. They remind me of you chopping vegetables in my apartment. I giggle. Christian's mouth twists as he tries and fails to hide his amusement.
I thought I managed that quite competently,
he mutters.
I was just a bit slow, and anyway.
He pulls me into an embrace.
You were distracting me. Where would you put them?
What? Christian is nuzzling my ear.
The paintings. Where would you put them?
He bites my earlobe and I feel it in my groin. Kitchen, I murmur.
Nice idea, Mrs. Gray.
I squint at the